Love Talk Radio.
Real sports guys, let's get real. When real guys talk real sports, we will. Ray, Marcus, Gary, Saint, let's get real. These are the kind of guys I need to have in the locker room. The championship type guys. There's guys, you just gotta recognize, I gotta pay the money, I gotta keep. Everybody has an opinion.
They came with so much bravado and so much swagger.
We're not gonna make it. Sometimes you gotta create space where there's no space.
I can't argue with LeBron with this.
I do have a little problem with execution. Right?
He burned a lot of bridges. He's gonna be hated in Chicago. He's gonna be hated in Cleveland. He's gonna be hated in New York, and that's what I'm excited to see.
Now I blame it on Nintendo. I blame it on the fact that they never played against a team that's gonna be as dominant as this team could be.
The true villain team. The team that everybody wants to smack in the mouth every time they play them. All right. Welcome to Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk sports. It's your boy, Marcus, the Game Changer. You know, I welcome you for listening. Well, thank you for listening, and we'd like to welcome you to the Resistance. You know, and I'd like to say throw a what's happening out there to my man, D. Wills. And we got Ray on the line. Ray, you there?
I'm here. I'm right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we got everybody. Hey, the gang's all here. You know, everybody's in. Everybody's in. So we got everybody in. Like I said, Real Sports Guys Radio, Real Guys Talking Real Sports. If you want to join the conversation, 1-347-989-0844. Feel free to call in. Get on with the Real Sports Guys. We love to have you. Pull up a chair to the table. Join us in this conversation. We're going to keep it real. We're going to get it going. Funky editorial. My man Ray, I'm gonna throw this out to Ray. He's going deep, real quick. He's coming in. He's coming in straight off the sidelines right now. So I'm gonna hit him and we about to get some real raw Ray right now because Ray didn't do no prep for the show. Me and D was on before prepping. Ray didn't get none of the prep, so Ray's about to get this topic and we finna get some just straight raw Ray right now. So Ray, funky editorial. We going in on our man Brett. We going in your boy, Paul Ray. What is up with this brother, man? Can you explain this situation? First, let me give the people out there a quick synopsis.
Did you go to Deadspin and check out the clips?
No, I haven't.
I did. That was some crazy stuff. I felt weird.
He was begging. The man was begging. And then when the banking didn't work, it would appear as though he took some pictures of his junk and sent them to him. And I'm thinking,
allegedly.
See, I don't know where all this is coming from, and I don't, you know. I guess I just the technology being what it is, I guess you can do it, but does it really make sense? Did he think that she would be the only one that saw that? You know? And unless you, like, maybe he should have sent a picture of my junk. Maybe he'd have got that date. I don't know. like Freddie Mac said, you know, I pull my shit out and the whole room go get dark. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. it's that morbid curiosity that even makes you go to a dead spin and turn this on and watch it. And then
I haven't checked it
out.
You don't believe it.
So you watch it again. And it's like, you know, am I working up my inner homosexual or what? I don't know. But I don't like to sit there and look at a man jump. I don't know what made me like watch it again. It was just the wow, the whole wow. It's like he did that. If it comes out that he's, you know, and what I don't get is that you know all of this stuff is traceable. I mean, if you can make a phone call
right.
that bounces off
yeah.
of. And they can find you and all the telepathy and trace it back to numbers and, you know. Are you really that far into Mississippi that you don't realize this? It was so amazing to see. And it's like he called her, you know, and I don't know. I can't do a breath or voice analysis, you know. I don't know if it was actually his voice, but it sounded like it, you know. And he said, no, I don't want to see you. What good is a picture of your junk going to do, you know?
He going to change his mind after that.
What are you going to
do? That's what he was thinking.
You know, you'd have to, like, tuck it in your sock or something for her to, like, go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was really you, you know. I got to see this, you know. it was pathetic. It was a pathetic display of manhood, you know. And I'm just talking about the phone call. I'm not talking about the junk. I'm not going to critique his junk, you know. But I guess I'm not of the generation that would just take a picture of his junk and send it to somebody. But
hey, I don't know
you,
what generation that is, man, because that ain't my generation either.
But here's the thing. It don't matter if I think it's his junk. It don't matter if she thought it was his junk. Right now, you know his wife is looking at that and like, yeah, that's Brett's junk. You know? that's Brett's junk right there. Who's just, you know... I don't get it. I don't understand it. And what's funny about it is he sent it, but it almost seemed like he sent it like it worked before, you know. Like he called a girl up before and she said no, so he sent a picture to jump, you know. And she changed her mind.
That's his move.
I'm old fashioned. I would ask her out to dinner or something. I don't know.
You too old fashioned, dog.
I guess.
That's what these young boys do nowadays. Oh man, she ain't feeling me, man. I guess I'm gonna just go ahead and give her a picture of the thing. Let me go.
Can you picture this man
sitting in front of a mirror, sitting in the camera in front of himself, trying to get this picture off?
This is the reason why my brother didn't want to get on Facebook. He just scared of. I mean, like, didn't Brett see Kwame Kilpatrick? It was all on CNN. I know they got CNN down there in Kell, Mississippi. I mean, you've got to see that this is not the right way to go. I don't know what he was
thinking
about.
It's dangerous.
If that's his junk. Yeah, I watched it, man, and I felt like I needed to go get a shower. I just felt like, am I watching this? Why am I watching this? But
you couldn't turn your eyes away from it because it was a train wreck.
Did you play it again? It's a video. Did you click the damn thing again?
I'm like train wreck once. I'm thinking, because I didn't really think they would show. I thought they would take it off. I thought they had already edited it and taken it off the site. So I watched it the other day, and I'm looking, and then it was like it scared me. I'm like, I knew it was coming, but it scared me. I'm like, man. I'm like, whoa, she opened up her phone. It's like, I was like, I hope you get no stains. I hope you get no stains out here. You know, I hope you got the clean undies. I didn't really look for that. But, you know,
but
you,
oh,
come,
Lord
you come,
have mercy.
You like, I shut the computer off. I felt dirty, you know. I'm like, damn. He didn't do that. Did he do that? I could, you know, he didn't do that.
But this is the stuff you talk about that someone has some privilege. Because they asked him about it, and he was just like, you know, I got time. He didn't deny it.
Yes, that's one of those situations where a lack of a denial is an admission of guilt.
Yeah, he was just like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
where if you don't come out and flatly deny that, hey, I ain't do that. You know, either you did it or you didn't. You know, that's one of those things. You didn't kind of do it, you didn't almost did it. Either you pressed click and send, or you didn't.
But he obviously did. But if he did this, it explains an awful lot. Now, I've given him, I've never seen too many Brett Favre interviews, you know, so I've never really judged the intelligence of this man. You watch him on the football field, he's a brilliant football player. But, you know, when you go through the years of I retire, I come back, I retire, I might retire, I might not retire, I come back, you know, you see a situation like this and you realize that he has been catered to. He has been, you know, handed, you know, a lot of things, and he's been taken advantage of, you know, somewhere along the line. Because to me, if you can get a man to just take a picture of his junk like that, you can, like, sell him anything. You know, you can, you know, he ain't a bright individual. All of a sudden, his intelligence level is just way off, you know. And I'm anxious now to see the Q rating for Brett.
That's what I was thinking. What's his Q rating next year? You know,
you're
gonna enter that top five.
Because what you're not hearing now, if this would have been Terrell, you'd have had sponsors just falling off. You know, but you ain't heard Wrangler going, we just can't have a man like this, you know, selling our jeans and, you know, you wonder what people.
And the real question is, how deep is the rabbit hole? You know, how deep is the rabbit hole? Like, is this the tip of the, is this the SUV back into the fire hydrant for Brett? You know what I'm saying? Where it was like, okay, this was just the tip of the iceberg. Somebody going to dig in, and then you're going to find out a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, you already got two masseuse now coming forward to say, yeah, he was hitting on us too. You know, one of them actually had her husband call. He, like, texted her. He husband called him back and said, look, I don't appreciate this, you know. And he said Brett was, you know, arrogant, kind of, you know. You know, he eventually apologized, but at first he was like, you know, hey,
even Brett's phone calls get intercepted.
That's it.
He thought his phone calls get intercepted by the husband. His brother can't complete nothing.
Apparently, this lady in New York
is at 25.
You know, this young lady apparently hasn't come forward herself. You know, she doesn't know she wants to talk to the NFL. Apparently, you know, she must have shared this with somebody who shared it with somebody. But you know, I'm thinking today. You know, I'm sitting at home thinking today. What is it with these people that keep, you know, I have a problem with her. Why would she keep some shit like that? You know, why did Monica
keep that? Somebody
want to
pay her for an interview?
You know, why did Monica keep
somebody
want to
pay her for an interview, man?
You know.
Monica Lewinsky was a pioneer.
Y'all don't know. Y'all not giving her her credit. Monica Lewinsky was a pioneer. She was one of the first, like, tabloid superstars. Well, it was just like, yo, I ain't do nothing but, you know, help out the president. And I kept the dress. Why? Because I knew somebody was going to come knocking. Somebody was going to come knocking and ask for some money
and offer me
some money for an interview.
That's it. So, you know, I'm going to tell this story and nobody's going to believe me unless I got this splotch on this dress.
Exactly. Ain't nobody going to believe me. Anybody going to believe that? In my word, got the president. I lose.
And that's the part that you talk about is, I mean, this is the part that you know, the reason why Brett is hard for him to go and come. I mean, the whole idea of an athlete, that the adrenaline, the power, the you know, the being able to get whatever you get. I mean, this stuff is built up over time. When you've been told, you know, you've been consistently told that you are the man and you have this and that, you get to a point where you think you can say anything. And I'm surprised that the Seuss's husband didn't say, you know, I understand you've been far, but, you know, I will walk down here with your shitty butt. You know,
right.
And we're gonna, you know, we can get into this. You know, you think New Orleans whooped your ass. You're gonna think it's all out blitz when I get on.
Right.
You know, but the part of it is that's the arrogance. It's the arrogance that explains everything else he's been doing, the way he held out and got the $20 million, all this stuff. At what point does this guy, you know, this whole thing, and they built this run. I mean, this is a guy that, the way they play him out, sometimes I think he won 5 Super Bowls. You know, when I hear people talk about the way that they talk about him, I mean, they talk about him in ways that they don't even talk about Montana.
Right.
And Montana, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. They talk about him like that. I'm like, you know, really looking at it, I love the statistics you talk about that, but I'm starting to rank. He ain't over Bradshaw. I mean, if it comes down to winning, you know, he's got great players off
the field. It's that gunslinger mentality, man. It's the gunslinger mentality. It's the mentality that says, you know what, I got 3.5 inches that I could throw this ball through, and the ball is 12 inches across. I'm going to throw it in there anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that mentality. That's what people latch on to, and that's the same mentality that says, yo, I can take somebody my junk.
Right.
Gunslinger mentality. Right. He was like, you know what? It's a dumb pass, but I'm going to go ahead and see if I can complete it. You know, it's the same mentality. It just shows that he's consistent.
Right.
See, I'm piling on this man. He's just showing that he is who he is. The dude you see on the football field is the dude off the field. Brett Favre said, you know, this girl ain't going for my lines. You know, I ain't got no other option. But I'm the great American gunslinger. So what would the great American gunslinger do but send her a picture of his junk?
If you listen to the phone conversation, you realize that all he has is I'm Brett Favre. That's all he has. He has no gang. He has no
gang. See, that's worked for 21 years.
Yeah, I know
how this ends. We're gonna watch. We're gonna have this is NBC Nightly News.
How does this end? If you're Goodell, what do you do? If you're Goodell, what do you do? If you're Goodell, what's gonna happen? You're Goodell. What you doing?
Let me say this real quick. This is how it's gonna end. Really, in life, it's gonna be like this is NBC News Nightly News today. Earlier today, Brett Favre just shot in the butt and killed Mississippi. For messing with a person at the grocery store. That's how it's going to end. Some buckshot to the moon. You start messing with some people. But for Goodell, he got to stay consistent.
But wait, where's the president? Where is the president?
Goodell.
Where's the president?
He's suspended people for less than that.
Where, though?
Right.
What was less? See, again, this young lady hasn't come forward yet. This lady is not. This young lady has not come forward and offered her. You know, she. This come from somebody else. Somebody
if the
else.
NFL,
found her
if the NFL is able to determine that he did send this, and this is an employee of one of the teams in the league, they don't. This ain't the court of law. I mean,
no, there's no jurisprudence, but the fact of the matter is, it's still a phone. You know, it's still a phone. He didn't, you know, it ain't like he cut it off. It ain't, you know, he didn't what was the artist cut his ear off and send it to his lover, you know? He didn't, like, drop this shit off his
Van Gogh.
Yeah, he didn't Van Gogh it. He didn't Van Gogh it, you know. He just read it, you know. He just took a picture of it. And, you know,
but I'm all for equal suspending of people. You know, I'm all for equal suspension of stupidity.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in this case, I'm like, where's the grounds? I mean, so what? Is this an issue? Is this really an issue? I mean, so what? He sent a picture of his junk.
Again,
so what?
But again, but it's
I don't
but
care.
It's got that Tiger Woods flavor. You know, you got this hickory ass country boy, you know, with a somewhat squeaky clean image. Like I say, if this would have been a black man sending a picture of his dick to a white girl, if this was good old, he would have went to his house and been knocking, you know, like the county sheriff. You can't do that.
And Brett Favre's and squeaky clean. He was doing the stuff when he was up in Green Bay.
Sure,
he was
sure.
Popping the pills.
And let me tell y'all something. The greatest thing that ever happened to Brett Favre was that his career was in Green Bay. Because I think if he would have played in New York or in L.A. or in Dallas or in any other in a major market, Philly, he would have been – all of this we would have a totally different perception of him.
Right.
We would have a totally different perception of Brett Favre.
But
because he was in Green Bay for all those years, he owned the Green Bay media because they didn't want to cross him. So wasn't nobody going to dig in on him? Wasn't nobody going to go in on him?
Right, because that Green Bay media went across the country, went across the world. In New York, they got other stories to tell. You know,
right.
In Green Bay, Brett was the story. You know, they didn't like they could go find another one.
Right.
They didn't like they could go find another
one. Which is why
story.
He became a legend. You know,
exactly
he became a legend because you didn't get to see all these warts.
That's right.
Which is why I think he bucked out of New York. That's why I think he left the Jets. He couldn't handle that.
Right.
He couldn't handle the New York media digging into him every night. Especially at his age.
Well,
I
think he realized. I mean, this wasn't even 2 weeks after he got there. This was still during training camp. He didn't show, you know, he just got there. He just met this young lady. Talked to her for a little bit. Had somebody else talk to her.
They just got off the plane. You went in the bathroom. Like, let me go ahead and get my junk out real quick.
Yeah.
And get a quick picture before I go through security.
Yeah.
They take my phone.
In his bumpkin ass mentality, like, look, I just know I ain't got the mentality to rap to this girl. I'm just going to show her what I got. If this don't do it, you know, she still says no. You know. Like,
funny, you know, I'm gonna move on. If I send her a picture of the junk and she says no, I'm gonna move on.
That's right. But what's funny though is I think that worked in Green Bay. That's what I'm afraid
of. Yeah. I guarantee it worked in
Green
Bay.
That's where you go get the story. You know, they're gonna be some big, you know, 230-pound blonde sitting in the bar, you know, with three shots of tequila in front of going, yeah, I did that. No, I got my own pictures of Brett. You know, on my phone. Yeah, I took
them. Hey, man, he might have some kids up there. For all we know, he was up there for 17 years. He could have a 15-year-old running around Green Bay.
But they say, you know,
Northern Wisconsin somewhere.
That was one of the boiling points for him and Reggie was the fact that he was messing with the sports reporter up there. You know, there was a female sports broadcaster up there he was allegedly having an affair with while he was married, just shortly after he was married. You know, and Reggie was like, you know, you mess with God, son. You can't do that.
That's right.
You know?
And the real story is about, you know, as again, it comes on home with Deanna and all that. I mean, that for him is his real story. What he's going to have to answer when he gets home. So
he's getting called off with the dog years. If that's the best you can do, if you can't be more creative than that, you get to be called off to the dog you are. You know? If you can't handle success any greater than that, then you're going to get called off for the dog you are. I'm sorry. You know? It's pathetic. It's a pathetic, Brett Favre's mantle meter went way down on this. Respect for Brett Favre should just fall off the table. This is like one of them Pete Rose things. You know, yeah, put him in the hall for what he did on the field, but off of the field, he was a jerk. You know, off of the field, Brett Favre was an asshole. Chuck it up. You know, and whether it was the success that went to his head or was he just that country, I don't know. You know, but you know. You aren't going to talk. You know, you can't talk about him in the same breath as a lot of other guys, because they, you know. I mean, again, this has that Tiger Woods flavor to it. You know, you got this country bumpkin, and you know, Tiger was just, you know, just this, you know, straight-laced guy. You'd never expect this kind of thing out of him, blah, blah, blah. And the reality of it is that these young men are getting what they want when they want it. And sooner or later, that lifestyle will catch up with you if you don't have the savvy to make better sense out of what you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
Hats off to guys like Jeter. Hats off to guys like Aikman. Hats off to guys that go through their whole careers and never have this kind of junk mess with them, you know? You know, have the you know, maturity and the emotional stability to sow their wild oats if that's what they want to do. You know, don't get caught up with everything, you know.
I mean, that's what like I think Jeter has written the blueprint. Like, if you're going to do this, just don't get married, man.
Right.
Wait till you're done. Wait till you're done playing ball. Or just don't get married at all. You still going to be Jeter when you're done.
You know, Aikman was so secretive about his relationships, they thought he was gay, you know. You know, and he didn't like, fall out about that. It's like, let them think what they want to think, you know. Because I don't get in the newspaper, you know, with something on my arm every night, because I'm not in a, you know, long-term relationship, you don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
But I'm not trying to be out there like, you know, the all-American man, you know, with, you know, wife and two kids and, you know, the Labrador Retriever and, you know, the SUV and going to soccer games and shit, you know. I don't know. It's another saga of Brett. And, you know, he's going to look back on his whole career and his whole life and go, you know, I should have just left Green Bay and just left that shit alone.
Amen. Don't win the back away from the bar.
You know, when I went to Minnesota, I had the best year of my career. I should have just left it alone. You know, and none of this would have been a bother. But when Minnesota's coming to New York and somebody's got a picture like this, somebody's going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
What an idiot.
Yeah. So speaking of Brett Favre's idiocy, I think that's a great transition into recapping the games that we picked last week. And we could start off with the game from last night. The Jets and the Vikings. The Jets took it to the Vikings. The Vikings had an opportunity to get back into the game on the last drive. And Brett Favre, he bust his move. I mean, out in the streets, his move was to, you know, send you a picture of his junk. And on the field, his move is to throw a pick in the fourth quarter for a pick six. That's his move. That's what he do. I mean, he get to a point where he's like, yo, man, I don't know what else to do right now. But throw, you know, he throw a pick. And, you know, I said, you a pick of my junk.
You know, and let me defend him on this a bit because, you know, I hear that criticism all the time, and it's true. You know, he's lost a lot of games that way, but he's won a lot of games too. I mean, you know, you could say Brett Favre threw that pick and it cost him the game, but the fact of the matter is he was throwing that stuff out there too just to get him back in there. And he has to do something. I mean, he has to try to get him in a position to score. You know, at the time he threw that
and
pick.
I don't know if y'all were watching the game, but that's not even the throw that got me. It was the two throws before that where it was like he just effed up. He was like, Percy Harvin, Revis fell down. Percy Harvin was wide open, and he threw it over his head. I mean, way over his head. I mean, Percy Harvin probably got a 40-inch vertical. He chucked it clear over this man's head.
That was a play he just missed altogether that could have been going for him.
It seemed like he was nervous. Seemed like he wasn't confident in that situation because, again, it is Brett Favre. And, yeah, he's won a lot of games. And because he's won a lot of games, you expect him to make better throws than that in the clutch in the fourth quarter with a good amount of time left. It was still a minute and a half left on the clock, and they were moving, and they had opportunities. And for him to blow two passes and miss two wide-open guys, it just seemed like he was out of sync and nervous.
I think they should go back and just review how many games he's actually won and lost, you know, in those last final drives. Because he's, you know, you can talk about the throw in Philly. You can talk about the game last night. You can talk about all of those because those are the ones that you remember, you know. And lately, and I shouldn't say lately, I'd say within the last 4 or 5 years, there's been an awful lot of games that he has lost like that. A lot more than
New York. New York, Philly, New Orleans, New York Jets.
Sure. But it's the same
every season
kind of,
ends on a pick six.
Sure. And
that's how you know the season's over. Brett Favre just threw a pick six.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, it to his credit, you know, he's kept them in ball games that maybe they shouldn't have been in too. But you know, he's not 25 years old anymore. He's not 27 or 30. You know, he may have stuck around. I shouldn't say he may. He stuck around too long. Now,
yeah,
you know,
1 year too long.
10 years ago, he would have made a phone call. I would hope he had the ability to make a phone call and say, "Get that phone. Get that phone. I just made a hell of a mistake. Go get that phone." Now, he's just leaving the phone out there. You know? You know, he's losing it. He's lost.
Yeah.
But what was obvious last night in that game was the loss of Chester Taylor. You know, because
sure.
In the two-minute drill, that's a guy to slip out, give you some, get the first down going, start to open some things up. You know, they're trying to use Percy Harvin to be that person. But, you know, again, you know, missing those locker room guys, right? Those guys that kind of make you better. That's what I love, watching Ryan when he talks about, you know, having those locker room guys. You got to have some of those guys. And every once in a while, it's not good to just let a guy go. And this is a guy that I think they're missing big time because he was like that release valve. And so he had an incredible number of receptions. So that's some of that stuff, too, that I think Brett needs to have. And then also as Moss gets comfortable, you know, the problem is they don't have too many games to get this together. But it was clear Moss on the week of practice, he makes a difference. He opens up the space. He clears up underneath. I mean, all those things that I think New England gonna miss, even though they made that move today, is still not Moss. I mean, Moss commands the double team, commands people to create space. So there were some good things that came out of there, but that Chester Taylor, they haven't replaced him.
Yeah, but I tell you what, man, what I would say is I don't think it was so much of what Brett Favre didn't do, what the Jets did do. The Jets are good, man.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good football team. LT looks like he's 26 and spry and quick. And I mean, that man out there moving. The defense is good. Santonio Holmes gives them another weapon. Justin Carroll looks like a legit tight end. And Sanchez has settled down. You know, I got on it after getting a year calling him saying check down. I'm going to have to take all that back because the boy's balling.
And Green, I mean, the way that they're handling these two running backs is just – It's a beauty to watch, and the way that the Tomlinson is kind of tucked him under his wing, you know, because he played terrible in the first few games, and he's coming around now. You know, the way that they attack you, it's like, you know, they have opportunities to shoot downfield. They throw their shots. They got guys that pick up first downs for you. You know, I mean, they really attack you on both sides of the ball. And on defense, they play a type of defense that has to be frustrating because even if you catch it, you get hit. Even if you catch it, it's going to cost you. And you realize that during the course of a game, you know, arms get shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, you don't want to get hit by these boys. They wreck you up.
And I think
they bring it.
Camardi played a hell of a game. He was on it. I mean, he got beat on one, but they was testing him all the time. You know, he's having a Pro Bowl season right now.
And as hurt as Revis was, that open field tackle he made on Peterson, you know, that's textbook stuff. Stuff. And a lot of times superstars don't do that stuff anymore, you know. They don't play that way, you know. But all of a sudden he found himself one-on-one with Peterson, and he just dropped it. A nice tackle, went in there and just snatched him up.
So here's the question. Are the Jets the best team in the league right now?
I don't know about that.
I got to go.
Who's better?
I I still think there's teams that are going to evolve a bit. I still like Pittsburgh. Still think Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You haven't seen what they can do yet. And they've been pretty.
Okay.
They've been a pretty dominant team without Ben. And I think now that
they
have
a quarterback. Okay, I can accept that.
So I got to hold off until I see what they really look like when they put it all together. Even though, you know, the Jets beat them, you know. But
given what you've seen thus far, are the Jets the best team in the NFL? Because Pittsburgh could be better than them, but given what you five games
who's
the best team?
Given the fact that they could have a letdown on one side of the ball or another and still beat you, I'd have to say, yeah, that they are the best team. You know, there's teams that are going to beat them, but, you know, nobody has a chance to win night in and night out like the Jets do right now. And they're playing some damn good ball, some damn good ball. Now that they have Holmes back, you know, you really haven't seen all that they can do. So
I think night in. If I would do a top three, I'm going Steelers, Jets, and then Baltimore. Not if they're fully well. I would do that. I mean, Sanchez made some great throws. He grew up, you know, but Minnesota's still 1-3.
Right.
They'd be the 1-3 Minnesota team. So I mean, I played football. Potential is a lot of. That's easy to say, but it's about what you do on a consistent basis. And as Parso said, you are what your record says you are. And maybe
sure,
1-3. They'd be the team that's now 1-3. I mean, that's basically the team. It hasn't really demonstrated consistency at all. So, you know, that part I would say that. But I would say just probably second best.
So you got a just second best. Now I'm still not convinced. So I'm still not sold on Baltimore. You know, everybody's on this Baltimore bandwagon. I'm trying to figure out what is it. The defense doesn't seem as dominant as it has been in the past. The offense is okay. Excuse me. The offense is okay, and it's functional, but it ain't blowing me away either. So
yeah,
I'm still trying to figure out, if I was going to give my top three, it would be right now. It would be New York, Pittsburgh, and then I think I would have to go with Atlanta. I think people are sleeping on the Falcons right now.
I don't buy the city. I can't buy the Falcons, man. I can't. They're good. And part of it is just the NFC is shaky. But I can't buy the top three with any NFC team. As much as I like, yeah, but I can't buy it. So Falcons, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Explain to me, what's the difference between the Falcons and Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore, actually, first of all, Baltimore's in a tougher division, a tougher conference. And Baltimore, what I say about Baltimore to me is that, you know, even though they look old defensively, they got all the parts for me. I mean, they got the receiving core. When now that they got Husman Zada in there. I think Flacco is mature into, you know, that last drive, got him over the top. But when you got Bolden and you got Kusumizada out there at your receiving core among with everybody else they get, and Ray Rice and whatever the company, the running game, I think that, to me, got more weapons. I felt a little bit more in them. I like Turner, but I think the package is better offensively. And defensively, I still think Baltimore defense is better than Atlanta's defense in the long term. And the playoff ready, Ray Lewis, he just keeps doing it. That interception he had in the Steeler game, that's Ray, and they don't have Ray on defense, and I go with Ray. So that's why I think Baltimore is a little bit better. I just think it's a tougher conference, tougher division. It's tougher than where Atlanta is in the South.
Okay, you know, I can buy that. I'm looking at the two schedules of the two teams, and Atlanta really ain't beat nobody. I mean, they got wins over Arizona, New Orleans, San Francisco, and Cleveland. And San Francisco, New Orleans, and Arizona at the beginning of the season were picked to be better than they are. But, they beat the brakes off of Arizona.
You know, I feel like I was in front of the Senate committee. All right, good. And then you come back like, well, they ain't really.
Well, hey, you put up a good argument. I ain't going to argue with
the
argument. They ain't going to look like no idiot. This ain't that kind of radio show, man. This ain't that kind of radio show.
when you look at Baltimore, when you look at Baltimore and realize that Derek Mason is now your third receiver, you know, you have to like what they can do. You know, you have to like they've got a good running game. If you know, again, you don't get anything on potential, but if this receiving core, if Flacco can grow into this role now that he has this kind of receiving core, this could be a crazy team. You know, it could be an incredible team. And so, you know, I like Derek Mason more than I like Cotchery, you know. And then as much as New York has a great receiving core, it's still, you know, the potential. You don't know what another four or five games is going to do for these teams. And that's, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, New York is who everybody said they were. You know, at the beginning of the year, I wasn't sold on them at all. I wasn't jumping on New York's bandwagon. I'm not really, you know, jumping on the Baltimore bandwagon. You know, I still think there's some NFC teams that could come out and play. That Minnesota defense last night didn't look bad.
Yeah.
So if this team could come together offensively, and if Rice comes back, where, you know, now you have Percy Harvin as your third receiver, this is a crazy, crazy, you know, 6 weeks for this team. If they can pull something out, you know, this is the gut of their schedule. And if they should find themselves, you know, looking for a wild card, you know, this Minnesota team is still there. And
They are, and especially this year. I mean, this year is just a big cluster, just a big just big muddled mess. I mean,
you got
four teams at the top of the league that I think are kind of standing out and look like they could run away with their divisions, which is Atlanta, the Jets, Baltimore, and, you know, possibly, you know, yeah, Kansas City looks like they could make some noise. And again, if they can keep it up, San Diego keeps giving them opportunities to take off with that division. You know, and Kansas City looked legit against the Colts. They look like a good team, man. They look like a good team. They look like they belonged. You know, that's one of those things that you always look for with a young team. When they go up against an established perennial power, do they look like they belong on the field, or do they look starstruck? And, you know, they held Peyton Manning in check, and they look like they belong. That defense is legit. If the offense can turn it around, that Kansas City defense is ready. That Kansas City defense is ready this year.
And it goes back to, you know, we talked about this, you know, we were asked a question about, you know, which last-place team or whatever has a chance to make the playoffs. And, you know, my reason for focusing on Kansas City is that you can tell they believe in the philosophy. First of all, they have a philosophy. But they got a veteran coaching staff who you can tell that they got these players believing in what they're doing. And that's what you know, when you get in there with Peyton Manning, you know, he'll cause you not to believe in what you're doing. And they were ready and prepared. So I like where this Kansas City team is going. Mark, I'm going to ask you a quick question. On that first pick, now, who do we pick? I can try to remember what my picks were last week.
For the Jets and Vikings?
Yeah.
I think we all went to Jets on that game.
I think we did. Yeah. We all went to Jets on that game. So I just want to make sure that we had a split on
I think we all went to Jets. We were split on the Giants and Texans. We were split on the Packers and Redskins. We all had the Colts, and then we were split on the Cowboys and Titans.
Okay.
I don't have my list. I wrote it down and I lost it. My kids was playing with it and somebody chewed on it or something. It got stuffed in the diaper or something. My bad.
Somebody ate the homework. We probably got the
homework. What?
Somebody ate the homework. So we probably gonna have to post.
Yeah, somebody ate my homework.
Our record.
Yeah, my 2-year-old ate my homework.
Facebook. We have to post our record on Facebook. So I think I'm leaving. I want things.
You think you leave? Oh, get out of here, man. I don't know about all that.
I think I'm leaving if I lose one game. That's
you think you leave, and I think you're smoking.
That paper is at Devon's house. That's where it's at. He got his new house. That paper.
This might have been your first good week of picks. If you haven't had that good a week, Devon. Now let's not. Really.
I thought I was 3-1 the first time around on this one. I want to make sure we get in the 1 week. Y'all didn't pick. I did post. I think I ended up 3-1, and the week God took I think that was when Ray fell out.
Hey, damn it! You know what, man? I'm gonna find this piece of paper, and we gonna find this piece of paper. It's around his desk somewhere, man. It's
I'm gonna make sure.
Post it on
Facebook. Everybody listening, get to our Facebook.
Yeah, as soon as I find it, it's going up on Facebook. So definitely check that out. And for any listeners out there, if you want to join the conversation, hit us up at 1-347-989-0844. If you were listening last week and you remember, or you got it on your iPod, you know what I'm saying, and you downloaded the show from last week, and you remember what the picks were, call in now so we can set the record straight. Please, that's 1-347-989-0844. Call in and get on with the Real Sports Guy. So, you know, the Colts and the Chiefs, and we had the Redskins and the Packers. You know, I'm sorry, man. I think they blew a golden opportunity, man. They could have made,
sure.
Like, Thompson just is killing me with this not wanting to give up a pick, man. Give up a pick. Give up a fourth-round draft pick. If you can get a running back, that's, and this is the sticking point for me. This young man is 24. You can get a running back who's 20. That means you can get 4 good years out of this man before he starts to tail off. Ryan Grant, as decent as he's been, and I say decent, he's been decent. He's been solid. He's been effective. Is he great? No. Is Marshawn Lynch better than Ryan Grant? Hell yeah. If you had to draft players today, would you draft Marshawn Lynch before you drafted Ryan Grant? I would.
Right.
I would. I think the worst thing that was hurting Marshawn Lynch was being in Buffalo.
Sure. But Jackson had 100 yards this week. It wasn't the running game that killed him. It wasn't the running game that killed him this week. You know, they've got some other issues that they got to overcome, you know.
It was the running game that killed him, and this is why I tell you.
Jackson, how many yards did Jackson have? Let me look it up real quick. Jackson, he had a good amount of yards, but he had a 70-yard run. And even after that 70-yard run, I still don't believe Washington was contending.
But here's the thing. They're not running the football. You know,
right.
Don't look at how many yards he got.
Because they wasn't convinced.
He broke one for 70.
They wasn't convinced
that 70-yard run meant something. They didn't think that meant anything.
They're not running the football. They're not setting up Aaron Rodgers by committing themselves to any kind of run. And that's the whole offense predicates off of that. You know, that offense last year was a short offense. You know, they ran the ball when they were supposed to. And then they hit a lot of short plays, and then they took their shots downfield, and it was effective because they get their 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and then, you know, they get to third and four, third and six, and you don't know if they're going to go short or if they're going to go long. By halftime, you know, they're taking their shots downfield, they're scoring. You know, that's not happening right now. When you run the ball, you know, 12, 15 times a ball game, you know, if your running back gets – you know, when Green Bay's running backs would get 100 yards a game, it was because they ran the ball 20 times. Now they're running the ball 10 times. And so these players are, I mean, what does Rodgers have? Maybe 9 touchdowns and 6 picks?
Yeah, he has 9 touchdowns.
You know, 6 picks, that's the number that you got to be worried about. That tells you that these defenses aren't playing that run at all. They're not being honest with that run. They're playing for the pass. They're not establishing the run. They don't threaten you with it. They don't come out and tell you, you know, we can get a first down without throwing the ball. They don't even
–
half of the time, they're, you know, how many times are they throwing compared to how many times they're running? If you don't balance
yeah.
this
and
offense,
it's about to get
all
for the Packers in a second. It's about to get
right.
real for the Packers in a second because their schedule is ugly over the next 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, they're going to need a running game. You got Miami. That's a great defense. That's a solid defense. That's a solid team. You got Miami. You got Minnesota on Monday night. Oh, no, that's a Sunday night game. So you got Minnesota on a Sunday night. Then you go to New York. You got New York on the road. So you got to go to the Jets. You got Minnesota and the Jets back-to-back. Then you got another top-10 defense coming in Dallas. And the shakiest Dallas is, that defense is for real. Offensively, Dallas has got some problems, but that defense is real. So then you go. Then you got Dallas coming up to Green Bay. Then you go back to Minnesota. You go back to Minnesota to play Minnesota, and then in Week 12 you got Atlanta.
Yeah.
If
you're one-dimensional, all of those defenses you talked about, you don't have to have that great a defense. Washington doesn't have that great a defense.
Exactly. Exactly. They're about to go up against some of the top defenses in the league over the next 6 weeks, and they have no running game.
Yep.
They have no running game. That's scary.
You know, and if you, the thing about it is they still walk, you know, I watched the game the other day. They still walk out there with that swagger, like, you know, even if they're behind, they're going to win. And that's...
Well, but I think there's been some, you know, in the locker room, from what you hear reports out of Green Bay, that people were mad that he didn't make the move. So I think that's going to start putting some pressure because now, you know, the players are questioning, you know, are you in it to win it? All these people are making moves. Mm-hmm. The Celtics going to got Moss. All these folks are making moves to try and position themselves. You know, they say we got a chance to win it. They got a championship-style defense. You know,
I mean, how many times have you seen teams like the Packers go after Moss just so Minnesota couldn't have him?
And that's what's lacking.
Why did they let, you know, and again, I could see Minnesota making that move for Moss. It was a great decision on their part. It shows that they're in it to win it. But the Packers should have went after Lynch in the same way. They should. Now, I think now, what do you do? You go after Larry Johnson? What do you do?
You great. Whoopsie damn
Marcus
do.
Marcus put it best. You're talking about a 24-year-old running back who doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him, and you still had him graded high as a draft pick, and, you know, you look like you might have got away with getting him probably for, like, a fourth-rounder. You know, come on, man. Your fourth-round pick this year is not going to be as good as
mine. Man, I'd have made that deal blind in my sleep, man.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have made that deal blind in my sleep.
I think Thompson wants to play that Ron Wolf role. You know, I want you to remember me. You know, I didn't go out there and I didn't pull the trigger too soon or blah, blah, blah. I mean.
Hell, pull the trigger. I don't care if you play later soon, pull it.
Ray, you know Green Bay. What they're gonna remember
right.
is the dogs hanging up on your front porch. Your Green
that's
Bay
right.
fans don't play around. You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
But,
so,
but again,
they're gonna remember you trying to run out of town with them throwing and shooting pellets at you on your way out. I mean, the Green Bay fans
right.
don't play around. So they can remember him. They, you know, this his. They can, the Judgment Day is coming.
And that's the thing that worries me is they just went through the easy part of their schedule. They just went through the easy part of their schedule and came out 3-2. I mean, they started out the season with Philly. That's a tough game. Then they got Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit, and then they got Washington. That was the easy part of their schedule. The rest of the season, they have basically, you know, two cupcakes, two teams that don't look so hot right now for the rest of the season, which could turn it around. That's San Francisco. They could turn it around and start to look like they're supposed to look. Then you got Detroit, who's improved. But other than that, I mean, after they go through that Miami, Minnesota, New York Jets, Dallas, Minnesota, Atlanta, and then, you know, you got San Francisco and Detroit. But then you go to New England. The Giants have been looking good. And then you go back to Chicago to finish out the season. And
Lynch was the obvious choice.
Having the natural deficiencies.
Lynch was the obvious choice. Who's out there now that they should go after? And who's
if they can get one of them Carolina boys, if they can get one of them boys from Carolina, I mean, that's a team that's not going anywhere. If they can get, you know, one of the, either Stewart or D'Angelo Williams, you know, if they can pull away. But from what I've seen is that those guys aren't available, and Carolina's not trying to move them. I mean, but at this point, what can you get? I mean, really?
Right.
I mean, they can try
that's
to get Marion Barber from Dallas, but I doubt that happens.
They got it because, Julius Jones just moved, didn't he?
Yeah, but, I mean, if Julius Jones was worth anything, Seattle would have kept him.
Yeah, they wouldn't have.
You know what I mean? It's not like Seattle's full of running backs. It's not like they've been setting the world on fire over there. If he was going to contribute, they'd have kept him.
Yeah, but Seattle also let Usman Zada go. So, I'm still trying to figure out what they're doing over there in Seattle.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's
Pete Carroll's running the show. Pete Carroll's running the show. He actually gets to pay his players legally this time around. So we'll see how that works out. Pete Carroll doesn't have as much weight when he says, I'm gonna stop paying you.
Yeah. He proved he can evaluate high school talent.
He
said, what about the college talent?
other than the high school talent he brought in.
The other thing that Green Bay has to be concerned about with this, you know, with the upcoming schedule that they have, is that the running backs that they do have now, you know, don't appear to be adequate. But what happens when one of them go down? Do you want Kuhn to be your primary back? Do you want Jackson to be the only one you have? Who's left back there that nobody else is running the football?
Hey, hold on one second, fellas. We got somebody to join us on the line. Caller, are you there? Is the caller there?
Is it Brett Favre?
I think it's Favre, man. I think he just said it as a picture of his junk, man. We got somebody up on the line, but they ain't, it's a weird number, so I'm going to go ahead and freeze him for a second. I'm going to go ahead and freeze that and continue with the – carry on, fellas. Carry on, carry on, carry on.
Right now,
I'm telling you, it's Brett. It's that boy Favre. He's trying to get in on the show. He mad at Ray. He think Ray put him out there bad. He want to get at Ray for defamation of character.
Yeah. No, he's trying to get a picture of my junk. He's trying to get that date. Don't send a picture.
He wanted an apology. He wanted an apology. He's going to send Ray a picture of his junk.
Ray, this is Brett.
Well, don't mess with that gunslinger, man. Don't mess with the gunslinger. Gunslinger mentality, baby.
I remember when Brett left when he left Green Bay, you know, and one of the commentators, and I can't remember who it was, he said it the best. He said when he left Green Bay, see, like you know, when they tried to get him to come back and, you know, tried to pay him $20 million just to be a part of the organization and whatnot, he said anybody else north of the Mason-Dixon line probably would have done that. Probably would have mended fences and came back. He said, but when you mess with them boys down south, they don't forget. They do not forget. You know, when they hate you, they hate you. They hate you for the rest. They hate your guts. They hate you for the rest of your life. You know? That girl right now can send a picture of her junk and Brett be like, I don't even talk to you.
I'm so angry.
Yeah, I'm so angry.
How you gonna go and do that to me? How you gonna do that to me? You know, I'm just a gunslinger. Is all. That's all I am. Gunslinger. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I blame it on Ted Thompson.
Yeah.
It's all Ted Thompson's fault. Him and Mike McCarthy did that. That's not even my junk. That's Ted Thompson's junk.
He's gonna say I was on medication.
Yeah. Nah, what he gonna do is he gonna talk Childress into taking the rap. That's Chili.
Yeah, that's
Chili. That's not me. That's Chili's.
Wow.
See, that's why they might have took that in the Bronco. That's why that Bronco wasn't going so slow. It wasn't no OJ Bronco. That Bronco was doing the speed limit. Had tents. It had some tents on that one.
The Packers are in trouble, man.
Randy Moss bumps into a parking attendant, you know, got weed in his car, you know. What's going to happen when Brett bumps somebody up there, you know?
Hey, man, let me tell you, Randy Moss pretended to moon people. People were outraged.
They were outraged.
Pissed. Oh, even the announcer during the game was like, oh, my God. I can't believe he just did that.
He's showing junk, and they're saying that's boys being boys. Randy pretended, didn't even pull his pants down, and folks lost their minds.
If Goodall is forced to suspend him, you know, is it going to be strategic? Is it going to be after, you know, the Packer game? Is it going to be after the second Packer game? When is it going to be?
It's going to be after the Patriot game. Because, hell, nobody give a damn about Randy Moss going to play against the Patriots if Tavares is throwing the ball.
That's right. Like,
I mean, they got a lot invested in that Minnesota team. I mean, because they schedule ain't nothing nice either going forward. And, I mean, the NFL has got it set up that way. I mean, if you look at Minnesota's schedule going forward,
they got,
let me pull it up real quick. They got a nice little haul coming in there, and it ain't going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Let me see. Here it is. Minnesota. Then next, five games. They got Dallas coming up this week, which we got to talk about that game because that's two teams that somebody needs to win. They got Dallas. They got Green Bay, New England. Arizona's kind of shaky. They got Chicago. Then they go back to Green Bay. So, I mean, they got a tough stretch coming up. It's not as tough as Green Bay, but Minnesota's had a tougher start than Green Bay. I mean, Minnesota started with New Orleans and Miami and then New York and Dallas, and now they got Green Bay and New England. So they don't got it easy either. They got a rough stretch ahead of them, and, you know, they're still trying to get some pieces back. But the NFL's got, I mean, they've got some primetime games. I mean, the Packers game is a Sunday night game. You know, I guarantee the Halloween game with New England is going to be a national broadcast. Dallas game is going to be a national broadcast. So when do you sit Brett Favre out? I mean, I think Goodell may wait to make this decision until after the New England game, sit him for two games against Arizona and Chicago, and bring him back against Green Bay on November 21st. Favre's return.
Let's see, but that's the other thing, you know. I can see somebody stepping up and taking the blame for the pitchers, you know.
It's going to be chilly.
I can see somebody will get to her through the back channels, and she's not going to talk to the NFL. And the NFL
will say
we couldn't get any more information. You know, originally she was going to cooperate, but I think she thought the heat was too much, and she decided she just wouldn't let it go.
Because she's going to do what's in the best interest of her, you know, and that's you don't know who can talk to her before the NFL, you know, and that's what I see happening too. I don't see, I see Goodall having to just back off and then maybe go off, you know, whatever the allegations from other two and whoever might come forward. Like you said, this is not an isolated incident. When a man takes a picture of his junk, he did it before, you know. He did it before. this ain't the first time he did some stupid shit like this.
Yeah. So that's one thing that happened last week. We got the Brett Favre situation. The other situation I want to talk about is this Randy Moss deal. I mean, this was probably the fastest in my lifetime I've ever seen a superstar move. I mean, it came out on Monday, and on Tuesday that man was traded. I mean, I think it came out on Tuesday, and we talked about it for a little bit on the show about the, you know, there was the rumors. And Wednesday afternoon, the brother was a Viking. I mean, I've never seen a receiver, a player of that caliber get moved so quickly.
No.
First of all, I want to say that's New England.
Right.
They like mm-hmm. the CIA, you just disappear. You know, it's like, you talk too much, it's like, yeah, this picture ain't even on there. Locker room, it's like, it was like he never was even here. I'm surprised they might wipe his records out. They might wipe his stuff out of the record books for him. But, you know, that's just how they operate. And I know Brady was on there. There's speculation that, you know, Moss and Brady got into an argument. But he came on saying, you know, it had nothing to do with all that. But you had to know when he was complaining, Belichick don't play. And Kraft, I think it sounded like Kraft was very much like, you know, this is how we do things. You can go. So that was quick. That was quick. But that sent the message to everybody else. We can let you go. If we don't send him away, we can send anybody away. And that was like, as I said, that was like COINTELPRO, FBI type stuff. So he let you know he showed up in Minneapolis with a fur coat on. And he was like, what the hell is that?
but let's see how they react. I mean, they were on a bye. Let's see how they come out and play next week. That's gonna, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. Can you live without Randy Moss? Is Walker gonna be their guy for you? You know,
they got Deion Branch coming.
Okay, they got Deion.
Don't ever say that again, Devon. Don't ever say that again. They got Deion Branch coming. I'm sure the other team is like, damn, they got Deion Branch now. We got a game plan for him. I don't think they're saying
what,
that.
What I would say is when they were at their best, you couldn't really game plan for the receivers. They were like a hoop team where you didn't know where the scoring was going to come from. That's where they were at their best, really, where, you know, you didn't know Troy Brown.
Wait a minute. Flag on the play. What you mean they was at their best? They wasn't at their best that year where Moss caught 23 touchdowns and Brady threw like 800 touchdown passes. That was when they was at their best.
They didn't do nothing compared to that. You know they did go 16-0 that year, right? but they didn't win it all. At the end of the game,
I would still say that that was probably when they were at their best.
They were at their best. Then the next year, but the next year Brady gets hurt. This year they struggling. Your timer on Moss is like a 2-year timer. He's a great player, but if you think about before he came, they were playing at a consistently high level. They won how many Super Bowls? And it was because you could never game plan against them. You didn't know where they were going. That was a strength for them.
But they were also stealing signals at that time. When Moss took all those touchdowns, they weren't stealing signals.
They were playing Tecmo Bowl. Looking at the other team controller.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I like Moss, but Moss, you got a 2-year window. Minnesota has a 2-year window before you start clowning. Same thing with T.O. You got a 2-year window. T.O. didn't give Cincinnati a 2-month window. You know,
that's another thing we need to discuss. We need to discuss that. We need to weigh in on this situation. Because before the season, you know, Chad Ochocinco was talking about how he played this out on Madden and they won the Super Bowl. Forgetting that that's a freaking video game. That's not real life. And when you get in real life, you got to do real life stuff and you got to make real life plays, and they don't. And Carson Palmer, like, this dude is regressed. I mean, this dude is, like, going from, like, human to, like, Cro-Magnon. Like, he's just horrible. This dude is awful. I've never seen somebody go from, like, considered somewhat elite to just being like, what the F is wrong with you?
Right.
Can somebody explain
this?
I don't even know how to explain it.
You can. I mean, you know, as much as T.O. means to that team right now, you know, I thought that, you know, with that dynamic duo, they could really do some crazy stuff. But he's had some... Usman Zada was no joke. The young man that was killed in the accident. Chris Henry.
I think he was the best receiver on that team. He just didn't have it upstairs.
He was a freak of nature. He was fast as can be. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody wanted to, you know, all of a sudden, I certainly did. I thought with the addition of Owens, you know, in the running game that they had, you know, that this team should be just be blockbusters. That they, you know, Palmer just hasn't shown that, and it's going to come back to haunt him, because now, you know, it's a how long do you stay with him? How long do you stay with him? You give him all the tools.
Yeah, because not at the goodness, he's the problem. Like, you can't even put it on nobody else. You can't even pretend that it's somebody else. It's him. He can't pull a trigger. He can't get the ball where it needs to go.
And he reminds me a lot of a college quarterback. You know, right now Terrell Owens is his receiver, and Terrell Owens is going to get that look every single time, it seems. And you forgot about Chad. You forgot about him on the side. You know, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know what the part of it is. You know, I don't know, and I haven't had a chance to watch him as much as I like, but how much their running game, because last year they were running everything off that running game. And
right.
I don't know how effective their running game is then.
But, you know, Benson is still, you know, putting up some decent numbers, but again, they're playing from behind. And I don't know, they just, you know, they're 3-and-out too many times for the offense that they have.
And they got some bad losses. Like, they lost to Buffalo. That's a bad loss.
Oh yeah,
they lost. You know, they lost to Dallas early. They lost to Buffalo, and then they lost to New England, which is, you know, a tough loss.
They just lost to the Buccaneers. They just lost to Tampa. Now, Tampa's up and coming and a good young team, but come on now. You can't talk Super Bowl losing to Tampa.
So, yeah, they lost to Tampa, Cleveland, and, yeah, New England was a tough loss. They lost to Tampa and Cleveland. Those are two losses. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, that's Tampa at home.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's the game you got to have. I'm sorry. That's just a no-no, man. It's just a straight-up no-no. You can't lose that game at home.
In the Tampa game, Benson had 104 yards rushing. And, you know, up until that point, he hadn't had a real good rushing game. He had 104 yards rushing. I mean, 144 yards rushing. So, I mean, he was running that rock. They only scored 21 points, and Benson had 144 yards rushing. And Owens had 102 yards receiving.
Yeah.
So T.O. going to say something.
The quarterback. You got to go, man. I mean, I don't know what – like, honestly, I can't even understand. I can't begin to understand or, like, wrap my mind around. Is it the knee? Is it the knee injury? I mean, like, I've never seen – if it's a knee injury, I've never seen the knee kill a quarterback like that. I've never seen a knee take a quarterback and just – I mean, totally – I mean, what they got to do with him throwing? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What does a bum knee got to do with you throwing, man? Like, I just can't understand it, bro. I can't. That's a situation that is just boggling my mind. Like, and it's just amazing how bad he's looked and how good he used to look.
Oh, that's the shame of it. They got the talent. They play good defense. They got a decent running game. That's the common denominator right there. That's the fly in the ointment. You know, it's not even a Flacco situation where you can say it's, you know, immaturity. You know,
right.
I don't expect him to grow into this. He's not going to grow into this.
Right.
He should have been coming right out guns blazing, and he just hasn't.
Because the man has more weapons than he's ever had.
Right.
Yeah,
he's never had a set of weapons.
He's always had a good set of receivers. That's what I forget.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, he's always had three receivers that who do you really lock up? You know, who do you really go, you know, who do you double cover? You know, when you had Houston Zada there and Henry, you could say Henry wasn't there all the time, but, you know, when he was there, that team should have been scoring 35, 45 points a ball game, and they just don't.
I mean, he had seven touchdowns and six interceptions.
Yeah, you're not gonna win divisions like that.
So I mean, if you look at it, when he was hot, you know, think about 05, 06, 07, he had in 05 he had 32 touchdowns, 06 he had 28, and then 07 he had 26. And in 07 he had 26, and then he had a high interception on there, but most of the other years, he was in the team. But most, I mean, he had 32 touchdowns and only 12 interceptions, you know, in 05. So, I mean, something around that, you know, he was averaging in the seven yards, you know, per reception in that area. I mean, so, and the problem is when you watch him throw the out, like, that used to be like sleeping for him. Like, Chad would run that deep kind of out, dig out route, and
he
would get that on timing. All those throws that he just used to just—they were like unstoppable throws. He can't—he's not accurate on those throws, and it's not like Chad. And so part of it is, you know, they were saying that their off-season regimen—it's not like Peyton Manning's off-season regimen. I mean, there was a time when he and Chad went and watched Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, and then they were trying to emulate some of those things. But the off-season, one of the things they're talking about—they're not working out together. You know, Chad does his thing. You know, obviously. T.O. didn't get the chance to work out. So, you know, there's some things that, you know, again, you get better in the offseason. Is he doing that kind of stuff to get that rhythm with his receivers? I don't know what to say, but they are performing well below where they should be. And right now he's on pace to probably have about 20 interceptions.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And what do you do? I mean, at that point, what do you do with this team?
that's the question. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they've given him what he needs offensively, and it's just not coming. It's just not happening the way it's supposed to happen. You know, it's just not. And I don't know if they can turn it around. I mean, they'll have some opportunities. I mean, they have a rough four-game stretch coming up with Atlanta, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis coming to town before Buffalo comes in. So, I mean, this next four games is basically, you know, they got a bye week this week, and then after the bye week, those four games are going to basically determine whether they go somewhere or whether they're going to be home. And from what I see, they're playing for a wild card spot, because I don't think they're going to contend for the division unless some catastrophe happens in Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Right.
So, whatever they're doing, they're going to be playing for a wild card spot. So they got to figure out how to win some games.
Yeah, that's
going to be. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the disappointing teams. Another disappointing team, and we've touched on this team, is the Cowboys. I mean, they just they can't get out their own way. I mean, that's another quarterback who maybe he just isn't a late-game quarterback. And that's Tony Romo. Maybe he just isn't what he's cracked up to, what the media cracks him up to be, because the boy just never plays well during the late games. I mean, he has a tremendous track record of just messing up late in games. This past week was another example where he just couldn't come through. Plain and simple, he couldn't come through.
Part of it's that, and I'm going to ask y'all, do they have an identity in offense? Like, do they?
No.
They don't. They don't.
Don't
have they haven't. They haven't since the triplets left.
Yeah.
You know, since Aikman and Irvin and Smith was there, they haven't had an identity on offense.
I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do. And to me, that's the problem. I mean, they're loaded at running back. You know, at some point, you got to run the football. I mean, that's why I love watching Jets. That's why I like to watch Pittsburgh. That's why I like to watch Baltimore. I mean, I'm all about slinging around. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to line up, and you got to be able to say, I'm going here. I mean, that's the old Dallas Cowboys. Even though you had Irvin and Novacek and all them cats running out there, running receivers, I mean, they had people. But the one thing you knew they could do is when it's time to go down the hill, we're going to line him it up, we're going to put these big fellas up in front of you, and we run into that spot. Can you stop us? And they got those kind of linemen. I don't see them running at all. I don't see them doing enough to, you know, at some point you got to say, you know, this kid is not going to win it, but he's good enough to get us there. He's good enough to make three or four throws. Let's bring it back to a point where we're going to control this game a little more. I don't see Jason Garrett's handprint on this team, on this offensive unit. I just don't see it. So that's my criticism. Is less Tony Mobile. It's just like they got a whole bunch of toys, and it's like, well, we haven't thrown to Williams in a while, so let's throw this one to Williams. It just seems like there's no strategy to it. That's my thing. But I'm not a Cowboys fan, so.
Well,
they seem to look
for a hot hand if they don't ever have a hot hand. You know, they don't have the talent right now. And that's, you know, they get a lot of hype because of the Dallas Cowboys. But let's face it, they don't have the kind of talent to deserve the hype that they get. And that's – Tony Romo is not a top-five quarterback. You know, they don't have a top-10 running back. You know, you could argue that they may have a top-10 receiver – but you don't know who it is yet. You know, is it going to be Dez Bryant? Is it going to be Williams? Is it going to be Kim Kardashian's boyfriend? You know, who's it going to be? You know?
But she's the only one that got her handprint on this team. Now she's the only one. Because the rest of these folks, I mean, I'm looking at these stats, man. You know, Cowboys, if you look at them, the rushing, they're averaging about 4.1 yards a carry. Opponents are averaging 4.5. You know, it's like 381 yards. You know, you look at their that they have rushing. They're not really running the ball. And, you know, you look at their receiving yards. I mean, they just don't have good balance, man.
I mean, they had the same problem in Packers.
In terms of production, huh?
Yeah. You know, I think they got the same problem as the Packers. They don't commit to the run. They don't stick with the run. You know, they run it for a little bit, and then they want to start throwing it all over the yard. And
but I think they count on that fear factor. You know, they come in, you know, we're this is who we are, so you should be afraid of us. And nobody's afraid of them.
And that's why I think Parcells is so wise. You are who your record says you are. And at some point, you know, it's my other thing is that they lack leadership. See, this is a team that just lacks leadership. And this is why I say, you know, Wade Phillips is a great coordinator. If I'm going to try and win, I'm bringing Wade in to coordinate. He was a coordinator. You know, he's a great coordinator. But this is where leadership comes in. And you got to, you need to, somebody needs to be making decisions about what we're going to do. And somebody needs to be getting angry into somebody's butt on offense. They got a championship defense. So, you know, somebody's got to be making some decisions up here. And Wade, when are you going to leave? You know, you losing games you're supposed to win. And that comes down to coaching and preparation.
And that's exactly the problem with Jerry Jones. When he has good people around him, he has good teams. When his ego gets in the way and those good people leave, he has bad teams.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it would behoove him to remove himself to the box. Get off on the sideline, quit patting behind, and just stay away from football. You're a great businessman. You have a beautiful stadium. You're an entrepreneur. You're not a football man. Take your behind away from football decisions. Hire yourself the best person you can find, and watch your team. You know, watch your team glow.
This is where you see that little bit of that Al Davis creeping in, where it's like, okay, we get it. You pay the bills. Go sit down.
Right.
I mean, look at these losses. I mean, bad loss to Washington, bad loss to Chicago. Houston, they lost to the one, bad loss to Tennessee. It's just, I mean, but all four of those games, given their talent level, they should have won. Like, Houston is good, but talent-wise, they ain't better than the Cowboys. Chicago's showing that they feisty. Talent-wise, they can't touch the Chicago, cut the Cowboys. Tennessee offense can't even match up with the Cowboys offense. If you look at it just on personnel.
Right.
Washington, at the point you were playing them at the beginning of the season, you should have crushed them because they didn't have an identity. So, I mean, you look at this stuff. I mean, if I'm evaluating, I'm Jay Jones here this first part of the season, this first month of the season, you know, I'm saying, Wade, look, man, I got the U-Haul outside now. I got the U-Haul for you outside.
But that's the thing.
You have to pull that U-Haul truck up.
Go back to what you just said. If you're Jerry Jones and you evaluate the situation, your ego already stepped in the way. You already made the decision to keep Wade there this long. Your ego has already stepped in the mess. You know, get away from football. You know, manage. You know, sell popcorn. Do something else. Go make some money. You know, if that's what you're all about, go make some money doing something else because football is not your forte. Him and Johnson didn't even know how to pull off the Herschel Walker trade. Didn't know what to do. You know, they had to make phone calls. And they got help and they did it and they were fine. If you look at what came from that, you know, they put together a wonderful football team. But you have to believe that it was Johnson that put those players out there, that evaluated the talent to put the players out there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, Jones just wrote the check.
That's right.
Back to writing the check. You know, when he brought Parcells in there, they got better. They were a better football team. He let Parcells go. You know, oh, we can do this. You know, we can do this. We don't need this advice. We don't need to go out there and get that next person. You need to go out there and get that next person. Be that entrepreneur. Be that businessman. Let the football people run football. You know, get your nose
out. Well, you better continue to schedule Oklahoma against Texas in that stadium to fill it up.
That's right.
You got to have Pacquiao fights against Margarito. You know,
yeah.
Continue to figure out how to continue to pay those bills with those fights.
Right.
But you got, you know, you built that big place to showcase the championship.
You know, and again, you go back to this, you know, collective bargaining. He's exactly the coach, he's exactly the owner that hates revenue sharing because he can't put his money down there and just put together a football team. You let them lose revenue share, and then Jerry Jones becomes, you know, a magnet. He'll have players that he don't even know what to do.
He's going to try to be Steinbrenner.
That's right. That's right.
He's going to try to be Steinbrenner.
And I don't know.
And evaluate talent, you Schneider. You ain't Steinbrenner.
That's right. Exactly.
Think about football. Think about football. You can't really buy championships all the time in football. You know, without the right coaching, right chemistry, you know,
don't knock Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner always had good baseball people around him. He fired him 3 or 4 times, but he bring him back.
Yeah, but one thing about baseball is you can have an individual hit that ball over the field, out the park. You know, and you can control the game. I mean, you can put enough bats in there. You can do something like that in baseball. Football, you don't necessarily. That's Snyder. I mean,
you don't know
every free agent you could bring over there to Washington and email paper, you're like, man, they look good. And they were just getting trucked. At some point, you got to coach them. Football is about continuity and coaching. Sometimes having all those great players on you because they don't want to listen. And it's about, you need good locker room guys, see? You need guys who, sometimes you need guys who just are there and they get after it every day. And you need some guys who are super, you need a good blend of them. Some of these, you get all this all-star team. Some of these cats, they want to go off on their own page. So have your free agency if you want to, you know, or have your revenue sharing and take all that away, but don't guarantee any championships. That's my thing, Gary, because you haven't demonstrated you can do that at all.
But that,
he's got great players. It's not because he don't have talent.
But going back to the game, you know, I think I picked Tennessee in this game simply because I didn't think Dallas could turn it around. I still don't believe they'll turn it around.
I know I picked Tennessee, too.
So
I don't know who Devon picked, but I'm guessing it wasn't Tennessee.
I still got a one-game lead over y'all. That's what I do. I don't care what combination of wins and losses. I know I'm leading. That's a one-game
lead. Oh,
man. So I could pick the Cowboys. I picked a whole bunch of other ones that right. One thing I was going to say, I was going to try and say something real quick here because if we were here, and I know we don't talk much baseball, but with Bobby Cox last night ending a career, we talk about level of consistency. This is a guy, a manager, who, it's crazy because for most of my whole life, you know, he's always been there. You know, it's kind of like, man, you know, He's just always been the coach, our manager, always been there. So, you know, I think it's important for us to, you know, definitely recognize what Bobby Cox has done for baseball. It was a great tribute, you know, particularly with the Giants last night, paying tribute to them even though they won. But, you know, that's the end of the era, you know, that consistency. And, again, you know, he did it many different ways, but it's something that's lost in sports is, you know, this is our manager. This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
And you're going to talk about evaluating talent. There was an individual that could evaluate talent, you know, more so than any other coach that you can remember in almost any other sport. I mean, when he brought Chipper Jones up, you know, straight into the bigs, when he brought Hayward up this year, straight into the bigs,
yeah,
exactly where that kid should have been. You know, he had no business playing AAA, AA. He needed to be in the bigs. He's a big league ball player. Chipper Jones was the same way when he was that age. When you realize what he did with his coaching staff, with that whole plethora of pitchers that came through Atlanta, there was never I don't remember a pitching staff that was built you know, by an organization that would ever match what they did there in Atlanta. You know, that whole mm-hmm. Hall of Fame pitching staff that they put together, and how many years in a row, and how many years out of, you know, what was their winning percentage as far as winning the division and going into the postseason? And
14 straight.
14, you know, how do you do that? How do you do that? You know, it's unheard of. Baseball's not one of those games, you know. You don't have dominance without breaking the bank, you know. You could say the same thing about the Yankees you know, you never heard of Atlanta breaking the bank. They had a great farm system. He had a great bunch of coaches underneath him, and they truly evaluated talent and just taught baseball to baseball players. And you know, you forget about the 14, you know, championship or division championships. I want to know how many players, you know, are completely responsible for Hall of Fame careers underneath him. You know,
mm-hmm.
how many players owe him the nod of the hat, you know, for making them the players that they were. You know, that whole that pitching staff was just incredible. And to think that they came up through a farm system and worked under coaches that he taught, that whole Atlanta system was one to behold.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that sucks the most is that he only got one title. You know,
right.
It was a great run. He's only
right.
able to get one title out of it, which is kind of what sucks.
Right.
But, you know, and I think that's the whole thing about evaluating greatness. You know, I think about Jerry Sloan, who I think is a great coach. And,
right.
you know, he just was fortunate enough to run up against some, you know, every dynasty he could probably have over his era, you know, to try and get over the top. And, you know, how we accept what greatness is, you know, because Costa's greatness, he only had one title, you know, but he ran up
mm-hmm.
against some machines during that time, and he was just consistent in and out of those different eras. And you're right, it's not only got one title, but, you know, how we evaluate greatness and, you know, ranking managers and, you know, at least over this era, you know, he's got to be at there near the top, you know, and he's kind of done it quietly. You don't always think of him, but you just look over there and he's like, he's there. But he's only got one title, but, you know, again, that's how do we evaluate greatness, you know, even though he only has one title. You know, I think he, for all the things that Ray said, is why he's great. Is that it's always been consistent. He didn't always just do it with pitching. You know, everybody talks about the pitchers he had. I mean, he had a routine that could hit the ball, was pitching, he moved smokes to the bullpen. I mean, all those things were just strategic maneuvers that, I mean, he's able to recognize and manage those egos. You know, that part is what's amazing about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, props to Bobby Cox, because he was doing it for a long time, and he did it well. You know, he did it well. So since we're on the topic of baseball, what do y'all think about these league championship series?
Well, the Rangers just took out the Rays, in one of
really?
Five-game series. Yeah, they just won 5. They won 5-1 over the Rays. The Rangers, I mean, they hadn't won a game. And then now winning their first series. I come out of nowhere, I mean, with Cliff Lee and everything else, but that power, and that's going to be a team that's going to be interesting to see them, in this next round. But that's going to be something else. So, you know, to look at that. And then looking at that duel with San Francisco and the Phillies, you know, we've got
mm-hmm.
to come up in next. I mean, you think about those lineups. Those are going to be straight-up pitching duels. That's like,
and that's why, you know, you have to give a nod to Philly because, you know, hitting-wise, Philly's not as unbalanced as San Francisco. San Francisco is a pitching staff. They have some good bats. They do some good things on the offensive end, but not like Philly. You know, the no hitter last week, that was amazing. You know, the no hitter last week was unheard of, and he's just one. You know, Holiday just one of of four good pitchers that they have. But you know, when you have Rollins and you have Howard, and, you know, you got guys that just crush the ball. You know, if you can keep if you got a pitching staff that'll hold them to two or three runs, you got a lineup that's going to get you four or five. You're going to win a lot of ball games that way. And I think that's how they'll overwhelm San Francisco, because they won't be able to score with Philly like that.
Yeah.
People talk about the Yankees. You know, the Phillies are just quickly becoming, you know, if they win a championship this year.
Sure.
You know, what they're doing, you know, everybody talks about the Yankees and what they, I mean, with these pitchers, too, I mean, keep things together. You know, that's like, you know, Phillies, you start thinking about where they fit. And everybody's always talking about the Yankees. I mean, that's going to say something. That's going to be a major shift.
Well, what happens with the Phillies is that the Yankees, you know, they spent their, you know, they blew their tab many times over. You know, their farm system isn't as full as Philadelphia. Philadelphia brings guys up, and then they go out and they trade. And they have the guys in their system that they can afford to do that. You know, the Yankees are a blank check away from not being anywhere. If it weren't for the fact that they could go out and really, I mean, if some of these guys, the Yankees have a nice window of opportunity, but they don't have a ton coming up in their system. You know, when they make these trades, they don't get a lot back. And it always seems like Philly does. They get a, you know, they might make a trade and get a superstar player. But all of a sudden there's a guy, you know, that they got, you know, 3 years later, you know, a pick that they made or however they do it. They have, you know, they have the most balanced system. You know, they're kind of Atlanta in that way, is that they go out and they get talent when they need it. When they got to make that stretch run, they'll go get another pitcher if they have to, or they'll sign that player that they you know, want to pick up a few stolen bases from. But their core, you know, they keep that core of players, and then they keep that core of minor league talent to use in trades later, and they've always leveraged themselves and positioned themselves to make a trade that some other teams can't. You know, Yankees have to buy, you know, they have to buy their talent. And Philly, they spend a little money and send a player or two, but they always seem to catch a player in return that turns into something. You know, they can evaluate that talent. They have that farm system to do that.
I mean, when you sit here and look at the, you know, the pitching, you know, you look at the Holiday, Lincecum, you know, you got Oswalt, Hamels, Kane, Sanchez, I mean, from a pitching standpoint, I mean, if you think about the Giants, you know, Philly's got to have that power. The Giants got some pitchers who might be able. That's the thing about, you know, pitching becomes a very valuable thing in the playoffs. And, you know, this can be interesting just because they can match up. They can match up to the pitching side, the Giants can. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all. I mean, nobody wants to play the Giants, you know, because of that pitching as well. So, you know, This is going to be, you know, whoever comes out of this one, you know, I feel Philly's going to come out of it, but, you know, it's going to be a duel. You might see a no-hitter in this one.
Sure.
You know, they said
that'd be amazing. That'd just be amazing.
You might see one in this one. It's just funny how baseball picks up. I mean, you look at this stuff, and it's like, man, I used to watch baseball much more, you know, when it was time to do the playoffs and all this stuff, you know, I was in it. And it just seems like, you know, you look at these duels and baseball can't even make the front page because Favre's on his junk, you know, a moth. Every time the NFL loses, baseball loses. Think about it. Like,
right.
Moth going to Minnesota takes these great baseball kicks off the front page. I mean, it's got to be driving Seelig crazy, right? It's like he got this quality stuff going on, and if the NFL sneezes, baseball gets a cold.
Yeah.
I look at this up.
Yeah.
I've been paying more attention to this. You know,
but a no hitter in the playoffs. Come on, they should have been interviewing his cousins and his, you know, his neighbors and everybody else. And
yeah,
football just throw something out there. You know,
it's just crazy. Major League Baseball just has such a marketing problem. So many of it.
They do, man. They do. Because, like I said, I haven't been into baseball since I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And for whatever reasons, I really can't even explain it, but I just stopped paying attention to it. Like, it just, kept getting pushed back on my list of things, list of sports, you know. Football and basketball became more important, and baseball just kind of sat there. And then it just became...
And I'm betting that it's your lack of interest in baseball is when you realize that teams like the Yankees didn't have to have a farm system, and they could go out and snatch a player up here and there whenever they wanted to, and, you know, have a payroll that's out of this world. And, you know, that's where I lost interest in baseball. It wasn't necessarily about who was coaching the best until you got to this point in the season that
right.
it really mattered.
Right.
And then, you look at the teams that we just talked about. You know, you have to love, you know, what they're doing down in Texas. You have to love what they're doing in San Francisco and in Philly, but, you know, you still got to, contend with the Yankees. And they have, you know, what the Yankees do. They say, well, we'll worry about a farm system later. We'll put pitching on the back burner. We'll go get one or two. But what we'll do is we'll pay through the nose to have, you know, 1 through 5 guys that will just crush the ball, just absolutely crush the ball. We expect to score 6 runs a game. Now, and we don't care who you're going to throw out there, who you're going to throw in the mound. You know what I mean? Nobody else cases them like that.
But what's interesting about that is that, I mean, I think one thing Selig was talking about is that baseball's had the most, you know, different teams posted. And they don't even have as many expanded, you know, think about expanding it to another wild card game. But, you know, in terms of, the number of teams, different teams who have made the playoffs, they've had a number of teams who made the playoffs. And, I mean, if you think about it, they've had some different teams win the World Series. I mean, I think they said like 2 or 3 of the top 3 or 4 teams, something like that, didn't even make the playoffs. You think about the Red Sox didn't make it. Who else?
They set it up like that. They said, you start in April, and teams, you know, the parity in April isn't there either. But what happens is a team or two will catch fire, like the Brewers did 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then,
that's the bittersweet part about it is that as a fan, like, I can't get excited about that. Like, okay, yeah, we're good
right.
this year. We're going to suck next year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can be good this year. We can make a run. We could even win the World Series this year. But guess what? Next year, we're not going to be in it.
Right.
You know, because we can't keep, like Tampa Bay. They can't keep none of the dudes that they got.
Right.
That's a tragedy.
The only thing about Tampa Bay that I will say is that they have a good chance, they have a better chance of keeping some of their players than the Brewers do, because most of their guys right now are young. And that's what happens is you get these young guys that you get under contract for a little bit. You know, when the Brewers, you know, knew that they could make a run, the first thing they did was went out and got, you know, Sabathia, you know, to try to push him over the top. And that's the way baseball is. You don't necessarily dance with the one you came with. You know, every August you see players moving, and then it's hard for me to understand because they have a free agency period, and then they put cats out on waivers that they know only a certain team or a few teams are going to go after because there's a payoff with that waiver, you know, and they literally cut guys knowing that nobody else is going to pick them up but these teams because they don't have anything to offer, you know, the waiver. You know, there's going to be some compensation for doing that. It's like you spend the first 4 months of the season watching teams play only to see who's going to emerge, you know, and win the lottery and get the players that are going to take them to the championship.
Right.
When Randy Moss left New England, that's a huge deal because, you know, and you don't see that in the NFL as much. You don't see that, you know, Randy Moss, you're going to, you know, but you see that all the time in baseball.
Right.
You see guys like Sabathia move, you see guys... You know, you see guys moving all the time. Cliff Lee, how many times did he get traded?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you don't see that in the NFL. When you see a guy like Moss move, that's a huge thing. In the NBA,
right.
When you see a player of that magnitude, you know, I expect to see Arenas move this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be a big deal because players like Arenas get moved in the NBA. You know, it's
right.
just not moved. They, you know, after the decision, you can see players leaving, but not being traded. You know, who can afford to trade a player like Randy Moss? Who can afford to trade a player like Sabathia? You know, you can't. You're telling your team, you know, we're going to spend the next 2 months just, you know, handing out bobbleheads because we can't really feel the stands. We aren't going to make the play.
Right, we're just going to kick it.
Right.
We're not really trying to win no games. We're just going to kick it.
Right.
Hang out, have a good time, play some baseball on the side.
Yeah, the teams like the Brewers, you know. How do you say goodbye to Fielder? How the hell do you just, you know, when he cleaned out his locker this year, he cleaned it out. He ain't coming back. He knows he ain't coming back. How do you let a player like that go? I mean, that's what hurts. That's what's heartbreaking about baseball is that you have that kind of inadequacy in loyalty and everything. You know, Ricky Henderson. You know, the first time he got traded, he was like, "You trading Ricky?"
Yeah.
You know. He was jumping
like
first. You trading Ricky? Are you kidding me?
I can deal with player movement, but sometimes it's just like, really? Like, none of these dudes stay where they start. I mean, why would I expect at all?
You're happy for Texas because they're in there and they haven't been there. But, I mean, this is the same team that got rid of Teixeira a couple of years ago. How do you get rid of a Teixeira?
We got a caller on the line. I'm gonna have him join in real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Hello, caller.
What's the count, fellas?
Who we got joining us?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Ferran. I host WDC on the Movement. I just got done with one of my shows. Listening to yours.
Oh, what's up, man? What's happening with you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I heard you got on a little bit of basketball for a second. I just want to give a shout-out to Jeff Pendergraft, man, on that torn ACL, man. That's hard for the Portland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those injuries are tough, and he's out in Portland. That's an interesting situation. You got an opinion on the league right now and what you think, where you think things are going and how things are shaping up with the preseason and everything?
I mean,
quite a few small injuries, but injuries nonetheless.
Right, there's a lot of injuries in preseason right now. So, I mean, health. Like, one of the things is I'm going to tell you now. I'm not a Laker hater. You know, they're a good squad. They got good coaching, but I'm just not a fan. But they are in the running for another title. You know, they can pull another three-peat. And if they stay healthy through the season, and I say preserve Kobe and that guy Bynum. You know, for the postseason, they may be able to pull off another championship, but
my assessment since the LeBron decision has been that, you know, Andrew Bynum with LeBron and D Wade and Chris Bosh signing in Miami, you know, my assessment was that LeBron's decision made Andrew Bynum probably the most important player in the NBA because his health and development make the Lakers an impossible matchup for the Heat because the Heat don't have an answer either defensively or even a post player who they can get the ball into who can manufacture baskets and compete with the size that the Lakers will have with a healthy and continuing to develop Andrew Bynum.
If he stays healthy, he's been hitting in the Lakers for like 5 years, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's true. That's a 7-foot-1 if.
Right.
Seven
I mean,
foot one if
he stays healthy, yes. But I mean, he's little injuries. I'm just not a Bynum fan, man. I think they should move him while they can get some funds and a good trade out of him.
I don't think they can move him because you're not gonna what he offers them. They're not gonna get in return. You know, his skill set and what he gives them where they could throw out a front line of 6'10", 7 foot, 7 foot, and they all can play, and they all
I give you that if he's healthy.
But he wasn't healthy last, and I don't want the listeners out there to misconstrue
anything that I'm saying right now. I am not an Andrew Bynum fan. You know what I mean? I'm not a fan of this guy at all. But I do see he has value to that team. He has value to that team that would be hard to replace.
Okay.
And I would add that in a regular season format, there's a way that you can really manage his minutes and still win games. That's a little bit different than a playoff game. You know, when you're moving from a Tuesday night in Golden State to a Wednesday in Denver, there's ways that you can manage his playing time and still be effective in terms of
Oh, definitely, because the matchups are different. Yeah, because the matchups are
different. That's right. So, I mean, they added a few more pieces to the puzzle that I think I'll give them a little bit more depth to it. I mean, every time they might play a little small, but, you know, there's very few nights out west where they're going to really need a dominant big man. So if they can get some minutes out of him, some quality minutes at key times, that's going to allow him to get the strength and kind of get along. I think they got to manage him, even though he's young, they got to manage him like an old school vet, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Artis Gilmore, who was, we might give you 25, 30 good minutes. They got to manage him like that, even though he's a young guy, for a few more years until he can get stronger. I think they can't keep pushing him. And I think listening to what they said, you know, what they're looking at is they're looking at him to be full speed sometime around January, February. So they,
right.
I think they're really thinking about how they could ease him in to this season. Because they need him in May, June. That's what they need him to play.
And the main thing is, as long as they make the playoffs, you know, you don't have to come in. You have to be, you know, one or two in the playoffs. As long as they make the playoffs, I mean, then they can go all out. You know,
yeah.
that's what I think.
But if I might add, that they need to plan to be without him because they have been without him in the past.
Exactly.
More than they've had him.
But they've been
exactly.
without that boy so much, at this point, they don't even need to plan. They know, I mean, they don't even need to plan to be without him. They just know. Okay, he's not here. We've been through this before. Let's just roll with it. We know what to do. You know what I mean?
When you want to get a good trade and a pick or something out of him, while you can,
what could you get that would be comparable? I mean, again, but don't forget that he's what, 22? He's 22 years old.
Still has
a lot of room.
The Lakers had him for like 5 years in the background.
Yeah, they've had him since he was 17. They've had him since he was 17, but he's still only 22. And you can't forget that. A 22-year-old, 7-footer, with the talent that he has, who are you bringing in?
But the injury.
That would be my question: is who are you bringing in, and what are you bringing in?
But
yes,
it's the
injury prone. But you really only need
injury
him for the playoffs.
Prone.
Yes, but you really only need him for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because in the playoffs, he makes you special. If you
Definitely.
Move him, you're not a special team anymore.
But if you look at the, if you
he
look
makes
at
them
that,
a tough matchup. He makes them a tough matchup. They can, like DeVon said, they can manage his minutes.
That's
they
right.
can manage that throughout the regular season. Regular season, whatever. If he shows long as he shows up long enough to get a rhythm for the playoffs, and he can give them, and again this past playoffs he gave them, I don't think he gave them more than 24 minutes in a game.
Well, I remember Game 7 they
so
started
like
in Game 7, so that was yeah.
They started him, but I don't think he played a ton of minutes.
No.
And the reason they started him is because he was a matchup problem because there was no Perkins.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. He makes them special. He gives them that option. If he's not there, Boston might beat them. Then the matchups align differently.
And if you look at how he played on one leg, he basically controlled the middle with one leg. I mean, that was the thing about it. Just because he was there, he controlled the middle with one leg. So
he still blocked shots. He still has some blocked shots and stuff. I mean, I give him that, but I'm thinking
so
long
team?
Term.
Who's your
My team?
Team?
My
yeah.
team? I'm a Boston fan. I'm one of the Boston Tea Party this past year.
You out there wearing those Celtic greens? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You've always been a Celtic fan?
No, actually, I'm in the L.A. area. So,
okay.
So.
Okay.
You're the second person from L.A. I know.
Man, you in enemy territory, man.
Hey, I was. It was me and my partner's dad, the only two in the house. Game 7. That was Celtics fan.
Ooh wee. Y'all made it out alive, I see.
Hey, but they was worried in that third quarter when they was down by 12 or 13 points. It got quiet.
Sure.
I thought the Celtics had it. I swear I did, man.
If they controlled the ball, if they would have just controlled the ball, they could have pulled it off. But they started shooting them threes and shooting themselves out the game.
So LA was coming right up the middle.
Yeah.
Right up the middle. They didn't have anybody in the middle to just knock somebody down.
I just think this season is going to be definitely an interesting season. This is going to be definitely.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing. I'm banking on this being an amazing season. I'm banking on this being a great season. I mean,
I know you guys only got a few minutes left, but what's your take on this? Is my first time on your show. What's your take on that Miami 3? Are you buying into that?
Not this year. In a couple years they're going to be running the league, but I think right away they have too many guys who haven't been in pressure situations, haven't been in the playoffs. I think it's going to take them a year to get that seasoning and to get the spare parts. You know, again, only a couple cats on that team have been through it. Haslam, D-Wade, those are the only guys on that team that have been through it. So I think the spare parts are going to have to figure out. And we still don't know what Chris Bosh is. I mean, he was up in Toronto putting up numbers.
Right.
But, I mean, can he handle the big stage?
Right.
You know, so we'll see.
The main thing is chemistry.
Ahead.
The main thing is chemistry. You can have as many stacked players as you want, but if there's no chemistry, it doesn't matter. If they can't play together.
It's not going to be about how they win. It's going to be about how they lose and how they come together at that time and pull things back together.
Yeah.
You know, this team is got a big target on them, you know, and let's face it, they're not the savvy vets yet. And can they handle losing? And what's going to happen? And when the media gets a hold of them, because everybody expects this team to blow every game out.
Exactly.
You know,
but that's D. Wade's
120
team.
Points.
They got to remember that's D. Wade's team. That's not LeBron's team.
They have to remember that it's D. Wade's team.
Exactly.
You had two other players that just got there. They
exactly.
just showed up. That has to remember that that's D. Wade's team. And when he
exactly.
gets into the
spiritual
but, game.
But then LeBron said he's not deferring, though. Didn't he say that? Didn't he just say that? Recently, he said he's not going to defer. He didn't come. He didn't
and
that's
where
the rubber
hits the
road.
Yeah.
And that's where the rubber hits the road.
And who takes
you know
it?
And I was going to say one quick thing is that I think one of the things is what's uncanny different than when Boston had their victory. Because the way they
yeah.
came into it was a little bit different. People are coming at them like they won the championship.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But every night for them is going to be like it's actually helping the Lakers because – you know, people are going to come at the Lakers for who they are, but people are going
to
come at the Heat.
To prove a point.
Mm-hmm. So every night, everybody will give them their best.
Hey,
who takes
the last shot?
Well, that's what they got to figure out.
Whoever's open.
Looks
like we got about 2 minutes left, fellas. Let's wrap it up real quick. So we got you on the line. Who you got winning the title this year?
You know what? I'm gonna see what Shaq's gonna do in Boston.
Okay, so you going with the Celtics?
I'm gonna stay with my Celtics.
All right. Why don't you give us your name real quick before we close out? Plug your show, and then we'll let you ride.
Hey, my name is Faran. I'm the host. I'm the owner, CEO of What's the Count? That's WHATZDACOUNT. I got WDC, The Movement Radio. We talk about sickle cell trait awareness, sports, highlights. You got it. We talk about it.
All right, man.
That's
we appreciate you
talk.
For joining the show.
When is your show on?
Say again?
When's your show on?
My show is
on
Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, every Tuesday.
All right, we're about to catch you, man.
I appreciate it, man. I'm new at it, so a little rusty.
All right, well, we appreciate you joining the Real Sports Guys. Feel free to call in anytime, man, anytime. You're a welcome guest of the show from now on, all right?
For sure, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
Yep, that's what's count.
All right, fellas. Another great show wrapped up. All the listeners out there, we appreciate y'all for listening. Be sure to check in with us next week. Fellas, parting shots. We got about a minute. Take 30 seconds, give us a parting shot, and let it ride out.
I'm going to say this. Ben is back.
Mike Tomlin is ready to give y'all a piece of some real stuff. So all you Steelers fans out there, catch this ride. And make sure you check us out on Facebook.
Marcus, post them pics. I must be
behind.
Posting
the pics. I'm posting the game for this week. So we're going to get our picks up.
And
okay.
I'm up by one.
Okay. I missed a week, so I can catch up. You guys ain't that good.
All right, that's the Real Sports Guys. Take care. Have a great week. Peace.
Peace.